coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
This is the continuation of the message, How to Take Possession of What Belongs to You.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I want to share briefly with you on somewhat, it's really more on how to take possession of what belongs to us. You understand? Sometimes many Christians find themselves struggling between what the Bible says about them and a difference in their day-to-day experience. But there shouldn't be a struggle, really, if one understands this subject in the Word of God. There shouldn't be a struggle. But for many, it's a struggle. I want us to read from St. Matthew's Gospel. And I'll begin by using the subject of healing as an illustration. Matthew chapter 8. From verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Bore our sicknesses. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So let's go to where, now he's talking about Isaiah the prophet, all right? So we go to the book of Isaiah and find where that great prophet of God said those things that were quoted by Matthew. Isaiah chapter number 53. Here he was given a revelation of the coming Christ. Jesus hadn't come yet. And Isaiah was prophesying with the Christ in mind. And speaking of him from the third verse, he says, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He's looking at the suffering of the Messiah when he comes. He sees the suffering of Christ, his passion, and gives us a picture of that crucifixion. So he says, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what Matthew was talking about. He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Matthew lets us understand that this was the Messiah, Jesus. The two words here that I want you to notice, the first one in Matthew's Gospel, where he says, bear. Says he took our sicknesses. Bear. He bear. And here it says, had born. In Hebrew, it's translated from the word nasa, born. It means to take or carry away. To take or carry away. In the Greek, it's the word bastazo, meaning to bear away, to remove and take away. Same thing. The Hebrew connotation is that he takes the burden of one upon himself and carries it away. Here it's with a Levitical contemplation. In other words, it is the reasoning of the priesthood that you find in the book of Leviticus. I don't know if you've ever studied along those lines, but I'll give you the background and then maybe we should read a little. Leviticus chapter number 16, so you can understand what he's talking about here. The book of Leviticus. Have you found it? Okay. Now, on that great day of atonement, back in the Old Testament, what God said the high priest should do was to get two goats. And the one will be slain, and the other would be dealt with another way. I'm going to explain that one. Now, this one that will be slain would have his blood as the sacrifice. There were two goats. And after Aaron had slain that one, he would do something else with the second goat, which is called a scapegoat. All right? All right, let me read to you from verse 21, Leviticus chapter 16. Are you there? And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat, I want you all to read verse 22. One, two, go.
And the goat shall send away one that he goes, or to a man and a man. And he shall let both goats in the wilderness.
Can you see that now? He would take this live goat. Remember, he'd killed the other one. And he would take this live goat, labored his hands on the goat, and confess upon this goat all the iniquities and all the sins of the children of Israel upon that goat. And then get a qualified man to take that goat into the wilderness and let it go far away. And so in the mind of God, and therefore in the mind of the Israelites, their sins had been borne away by that goat, because their sins were laid on that goat. You get it? Now, when Israel knew that their sins had been borne away by that goat, they knew until next year, everything's fine. No matter what I did wrong, I'm cool with God till next year. So next year again, Aaron gets another goat. And then all their sins will be confessed upon that goat, and the whole nation will be atoned for. Do you get it? Now, this was what was in the mind of the prophet when he says, he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He took them away. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Like Israel watched that goat go away. Their sins went away with him. And they were free. Their minds were free. Because that goat took away their sins and their iniquities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus took our sins away. Oh, glory to God. Let's look at it. It's the same thing. Same thing. Now, I read to you from Isaiah chapter number 53, where we started. And let me read that all the way so you can get the picture again. Are you ready? Okay, Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Read verse 6. 1, 2, go. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Like Aaron laid on that goat the iniquity of the whole country. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Like the Israelites did. And the Lord did what? He laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org. For an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life and who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love World Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love World Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This is the continuation of the message, how to take possession of what belongs to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is what you have in the mind of Matthew here, when it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He carried away. He took away. He bore on himself. He removed to take away our sicknesses. I think that's powerful. All the time, this scripture reminds me of a little girl many years ago. I've told the story many times. Let me read that part of the scripture to you again. Now I'll tell you the story one more time. Hello. 1 Peter chapter 2. Little girl, years ago, had problems with her lungs. She couldn't breathe anymore. She had to be on bed rest completely, connected to oxygen. And because her lungs are badly damaged, the doctor said there was no hope. She was going to die. And her mother was taking care of her now. As she got closer to her death, she couldn't take solid food for months. And while on the bed, her mother gave her a little Bible to study. So she was reading and waiting to die. Can you imagine? Just waiting to die. She knew she was dying. She was waiting to die. So she was studying the Bible and she came to 1 Peter chapter 2. And she got to this place reading about Jesus. From verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bore our sins on his own body on a tree." And she broke down and started crying. "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Because you bore my sins on your own body on the cross. And now that I'm dying, I'm coming home. So I'll see you soon, Lord Jesus." And she prayed that prayer with tears in her eyes. So she kept on reading. "Are we being dead to sins? She'll live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Oh, she said, "I never saw that before. By whose stripes ye were healed? Oh, Lord, I just thanked you for bearing my sins. I didn't know you healed me too." Then she said, "Lord, I'm sorry I won't be coming home very soon." She got rid of the oxygen. Now, remember, she hadn't eaten solid food for months and she had grown to skin bones. Skin bones. I think tuberculosis had taken its toll. It was many years ago. And she came off of that place, took the oxygen off, walking ever so slowly. "Mama!" And her mother heard her scream and then she ran downstairs. "What is it, darling? What is it?" "Get my breakfast." "What?" When the mother saw her, she almost fainted. She started crying and got her together and carried her back to bed. "No, honey, you haven't eaten solid food for months. I'll call a doctor." "No," she said, "Mama, I just read the Bible. Jesus already healed me." Mama said, "Oh, no. The doctor said the day you die, you'll lose your mind." And got the telephone and called, "Doctor, come quick." Now, isn't that amazing? When you start acting on the word of God, they say you've lost your mind. "No, the day you die, you lose your mind." That's what the doctor said. And while she was talking to the doctor, the girl came out of that place again, got into the kitchen, and got herself a nice meal. Mama was all the time crying now, until the doctor came. Honey, what's the matter? Put her on the bed. What's the matter? She said, nothing the matter. I just found out Jesus already healed me. Now, did she feel healed? No, she didn't. She didn't feel healed. What happened? She saw it in the Word. That the same scripture where it said Jesus took our sins away, it said we were healed. He took our sins, past tense. We were healed, past tense. The same way I can accept that when Jesus died on Calvary, he died for me and took my sins away. I can accept that he took my sicknesses away. That's what we just read. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Removed, carried away our sicknesses. He did. If he did, what are you doing with yours? A dear lady some years ago found out something. She said, people were wondering how come she'd been so confident. Things have been going wrong and everybody was afraid, but she was never afraid. So some of the friends got around and they asked her, why are you so confident? In the nighttime when the bombing, we all get under the cellars and we are afraid and we stay up all night. And you never join us. Oh, she said, I always stay at home. Why? Oh, she said, I found out in the Bible that the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers. And I thought if he doesn't sleep, then I should sleep. It's no use two of us staying awake. It's no use two of us staying awake. Because he's awake for me. So I can rest. Can you see it? It's just that simple. The Bible says, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So why are you caring when you're supposed to cast your cares on him? Why should both of you be caring for the same thing together? He said, cast your cares on him, for he cares. So no need for the worry. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiousness should go. That's anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding. It says it's beyond understanding. Shall garrison your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Say this with me. I refuse to worry. Say it again. I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible says. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, this is wonderful. Wonderful. See, it's better for us to take sides with God. What do you think? Take sides with God and not against God. If he says, don't be anxious about anything, then refuse to be anxious about anything. I'm just worried. I'm just worried. But the Word of God says not to be worried about anything. So, to be worried means that you're taking sides against God. I refuse to worry. See, you keep the smile of a victor on your face. I refuse to worry. See, worrying people are never successful. In fact, when they are successful in anything, it is short-lived. Because the spirit of worry will destroy it. Worry destroys success. People who worry are not successful for long. Did you hear what I just said? Say, I refuse to worry. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through diverse tests. In other words, when things are hard, it says, count it all joy. Why does God say count it all joy? Because he needs you to function in that way in the kingdom of God to enjoy the benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Kumba, Level Auditorium, behind Regal Hotel, View Road, Kumba. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m., Wednesdays for Bible study, 5:30 p.m., and Fridays for prayer meetings, 5:30 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call 6830-12364 or 6506-694-80 or send an email to radiotransmissions@level360.com.